All right, folks. Today I'm going to be looking at a bill that has gotten a lot of attention recently, AB 495. This bill, the more I got into it and other people got into it, the more awful it seemed. And I just want to say at the outset, this has taken a huge amount of research from a lot of different people, and I'm really grateful for the other people that have done a lot of work trying to understand this bill and finding all the different code sections that relate to it. We'll be getting into a discussion on this. The bottom line is that this is a bad bill. It is going to be heard. Currently, it's on the schedule for Monday morning, Monday the 18th, when the legislature gets back from their summer break. This is a pretty bizarre, quick move on the part of the legislature to make this happen very quickly. That's what's currently on the schedule, so be praying for that. This bill is not good, so I'm going to get into a little bit more details on it. Welcome to the Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on the Frontline. So AB 495 has been presented as a bill to help children in the situations where their parents are detained or deported. That is how it's being presented. That's how it's been labeled in the legislature, because the summary, the legislative findings, the declarations of what the intent of the bill is includes that language. It says that it's for those children of parents who are detained or deported in situations of where ICE is involved and there's issues with citizenship or being somehow in situations where somebody might get detained or deported. So this is a bill where it's supposedly trying to protect these kids, and maybe the intent originally was good. However, the idea here is to make it possible for more people to take responsibility for these children that are then abandoned by people that are all of a sudden detained, deported. There's some kind of emergency, and the children, the parents are missing, and the children are on their own. And so this bill has come into play here, and it's amending a code section that, the more we got into that, the more we realized how bad our current situation is with current law. And I think that's probably the big thing for at least for me, going and doing research on this bill and finding out from others that this particular bill has exposed some portions of California law that are pretty bad in and of themselves in the way that they go about trying to make And the idea was the same, was to protect children when the parents are missing, to help children get care that they need when the parents are missing, for whatever reason. And so 495 builds on that law that's already in the code, that's not done well, and that already has a whole bunch of holes in it. And those holes that exist, they've been in place since 1994, have been amended a couple of times since then, but those holes are a significant danger, and they may very well be unconstitutional as they stand. I'll go ahead and link to an analysis that's done by Alliance Defending Freedom, because they've put together some information that's helpful in understanding some parts of the bill. But I think there's more in that. There is significant problems with the way that current law is already worded, and they actually allude to that in their analysis, by saying that the I'll just read an excerpt from the ADF letter analysis. It says, Assembly Bill 495 would amend several sections of California statutory law dealing with education, children and families, health and safety, and immigration. It is our opinion that Assembly Bill 495 is likely unconstitutional because it unjustifiably interferes with parents' fundamental rights, including the parents' rights, to choose which school their children attend and to make medical decisions concerning their minor children. Worse still, it does so without affording parents any semblance of due process, which is required by the Constitution. The analysis goes on to cite a number of court cases. And there are a number of code sections referenced in the bill, AB 495, that sort of paint this picture of there's a crisis, we need to care for these children, but also it has these holes where somebody could easily come in and say, I am going to take responsibility for this child, and that person could be lying, could be misusing the law. Now, what they're doing is illegal to do that. This law doesn't seem to justify that, but if they were to lie and say, I am this person's caretaker, they could convince somebody that they're appropriately taking control over a child that they have no business taking control over. And this law makes it a little bit easier to convince somebody that that's the case, even though it's not true. And the affidavit form that's here actually says that if you lie on this form, you could go to prison, which, yeah, if you kidnap somebody, you go to prison. And so there's a lot of issues with current law and how current law makes it easier for somebody to assume the position of parent and take on those responsibilities by convincing somebody that they are who they are not. But there's another aspect to this which is also dangerous, and that is what it does actually allow people to do legally. And that is perhaps taking a look at people that are listed in the bill, legitimately listed in the bill, legally, in current law even, and saying, okay, this person, whether it's an aunt, uncle, sister, brother, grandfather, grandmother, people that are relatives of the child, could take that child and say, well, the parent is temporarily unavailable, so I'm going to allow this child, I'm going to help this child to get medical treatment or even, in some cases, surgery. And so that's a really dangerous thing to just allow somebody who's a relative, but perhaps somebody who's hostile or a disgruntled relative, somebody who doesn't see eye to eye with the parents on issues of gender, family, medical issues. There's all kinds of ways where this could go wrong, but where the person taking on the authority doesn't get in trouble. So there's a lot of issues here with AB 495, and I just kind of want to get right down to the bottom of it, and that is that it doesn't just do what they're saying that it will do. It doesn't just apply to cases of detaining and deporting people, parents, but it fits. It's a broad and has very vague definitions. It expands who can claim parental authority. It creates a new category of non-relative extended family member that could include all kinds of people, well-meaning or not. It doesn't define certain things that really ought to be defined, like unable to contact. So like in the situation where you're trying to contact the parent or somebody is wanting to take over parental control of children and saying, well, I tried to contact the parent, but couldn't. So that means that I get to take authority over the parent, over the child, whether temporarily or long-term. And so it does seem like the more that we got into this law, the more it looks bad. And the scary part is that this is already in current law for the most part. There is some that this bill adds to, but the question then is not only we need to call our state senators and say, hey, this is a bad bill, please vote no on it. But we can't really stop there, because now that all the attention's brought to this, I imagine that this bill that has, to our knowledge, not really been misused over the last 30 years it's been in existence on the books, in the code, it could very well start getting misused because of the way that attention has been drawn to it. So vague language and broad definitions really do invite overreach. And what we've seen here is that there is a lot of that in this bill, but in current law as well. And that's where the danger lies. And so we have to not only stop with just dealing with this bill. 495 opens wide a door that's already opened. And so we need to deal with the current law as well. And so we're trying to figure out ways to address that. And hopefully a number of other organizations will jump onto that as well to deal with the current law, because current law is problematic the way it is. I would encourage you to contact your California state senator, call them today, tomorrow, early Monday, urge them to vote no on AB 495. And you can do that by going to findyourrep.legislature.ca.gov. You can also find it in our tools on our website at fbmca.org. And I would encourage you to look into this more. I'll link below to some documents that will help you understand this better. But that's it for now. I hope that you're able to follow up on this and do make some phone calls. So thank you so much. Pass this on to your friends as well, because this is a concerning issue. It's not directly a homeschool issue itself, but it could have an impact on homeschool families if people that are set against homeschooling use this bill, either misuse it or use the code that as it's written in a legal way to sort of circumnavigate parents' authority, because there's a very real sense in which parents' authority can be circumnavigated, and maybe they can, you know, maybe parents can take legal action against the person for going around their authority, but ultimately, by that time, it can be too late, for some damage can already be done. So that's it for now. Be praying, be calling your state senators, and be passing this on to others. Thank you. Thanks for joining us for this episode of The Frontline with FPM. For more information about the topics we discuss here, check out Family Protection Ministries at fpmca.org and subscribe to our channel.